Welcome back to the Marnie Blick Tapes, a crime podcast where we present to you some of the many cases we have found that were taken on in the mid-90s by the legendary private detective Marnie Blick.
For those of you who need a refresher, Marnie Blick had a traumatic accident that left her paralyzed from the waist down. Determined to continue following her passion, solving crimes, she hired an assistant named Finn Graham to go out and do the fieldwork. What you'll be hearing are their phone calls and taped interviews relating to each case.
We found hundreds of cases that Detective Marnie Blick kept detailed records of, so we'll be sharing those with you as fast as we're able to sort through them and put them together. We do make some edits and try to clean up some of the audio for your listening pleasure.
So without further ado, here's the next case in the Marnie Blick Tapes.
Case 2. The Fatal Fall of Diego Lopez.
Diego Lopez was found dead at the bottom of a ravine, or a cliff, on the morning of February 2nd, 1995. He was a specialist in the U.S. Army stationed at a nearby base. A farewell note was found the next day, and after internal military investigations concluded, the case was deemed a suicide. Diego flung himself from the side of the cliff to his death.
He left behind his wife, Jimena Lopez, who after months of grieving felt that something was wrong. According to her, Diego had never shown any suicidal tendencies. He didn't suffer from any kind of PTSD. The supposed suicide had come out of nowhere, but Jimena had made some discoveries of her own about what may have really happened to her husband.
She contacted Marnie Blick with information about her case, and this is where our records and our recordings begin.
I absolutely understand. Okay. We're completely committed to helping you and looking into this as thoroughly as we can. Thank you.
These are the voices of Jimena Lopez and Marnie herself. Finn Graham, Marnie's assistant, is at Jimena's house. He has called Marnie and has handed the phone over to Jimena.
Like, what do you need? We can review everything from the beginning, if that's okay with you.
Of course, yeah.
So, February 2nd, your husband, Diego Lopez, was found, right? In the morning?
Yeah, yes.
Had you seen him the day before? On February 1st?
No, not that day. He was working all day and then was out after work. He had a lot of friends.
When is the last time you saw him?
The day before.
January 31st?
Yes.
At home?
Yes. He came home, we had dinner, spent some time together, went to bed just normal.
Nothing struck you as strange or just out of the usual?
No, nothing.
So you went to bed, and then...
He goes to the base really early. I was still asleep.
Got it. You weren't concerned when he didn't come home on the 1st?
No, not at all. I mean, his schedule is just like that.
So he doesn't come home on the 1st, and then... When did you get worried, or when did you contact anyone about where he was?
I didn't. I just went to bed, and they found him in the morning before I even... Someone saw him. Someone saw his car. I mean, it was parked by the overlook, door open, and they saw him at the bottom. Yeah.
Okay. A suicide note was found, right?
Yeah.
You found it?
Yes, with his gear.
Do you still have it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could Finn make a copy of it? Would that be okay with you?
I already have copies.
Here. Great.
Oh, thank you.
Do you want me to read it to you?
No, that's all right. I'll go through it after we've spoken. I'm sure it's not easy to have to revisit it.
No, it's not.
But this was a suicide note, correct? The investigation ruled it as a suicide.
Yes. Yeah.
So why now, a few months later? What's changed?
Mrs. Blick, I just don't believe Diego did this. He was an extremely happy, bright kind of guy, and he didn't have PTSD. He didn't have any of those kind of issues.
Lots of people don't show any symptoms leading up to their passing.
Yes, I know, but I don't know. There's just this big nagging thing, like a feeling. This whole time I felt it, so I went myself to see the place where it happened.
And did you find anything?
I did, yes. That's why I contacted you.
Okay. What did you find?
So, on the way from town to that spot, there's a deli, and we've been there so many times. It's one of Diego's go-to places for anything. He went there the night he died.
Do you know around what time?
I don't know, no. I talked to the guy there, and his name is Edwin Jacobs. I asked about if he saw Diego, and he said yes. And I asked if there was anyone else with him, and he said someone was waiting in the car when Diego came in, but that he couldn't remember what the guy looked like.
Did the initial investigation mention this at all?
Not at all. They never spoke to Edwin. Nothing.
And Edwin couldn't make out any details about the man?
He couldn't remember. No.
Would it be possible for us to talk to him?
I can give you the address.
Okay, great. I'll have Finn take that. Okay. So, Jimena, is there anyone you can possibly think of who would have wanted to harm Diego?
Honestly, no. No one. As far as I know, Diego is liked by just about everyone.
Did he mention any issues at the base?
Really, no. No, he's really good friends with the guys on his team. I know them. All good guys.
Okay. Would it be possible for us to contact the people closest to him there?
I'm sure they wouldn't mind, no. And I have their numbers if you need them.
Okay. Could you hand me back to Finn for just a moment?
Of course. Here, Finn.
Hey.
Could you get the address of the deli and then the location of the overview spot?
Yep.
And then the names of Diego's colleagues.
Jimena gave them the names of Diego's team members at the base he was stationed at. Dustin Groves, Parker Scheller, and Mark Patton. These were the best of friends. Despite being married and having responsibilities at home, they would often go on camping trips. They worked together, they drank together, and they laughed together. Just a couple of boys.
Dustin was from Louisiana. He was married with two kids and was 2 years Diego's senior. And if we were to assign titles to each of them, Parker Scheller was the crazy one. He was a drunk daredevil. If they ever got into fights, it was because of Parker. If someone got injured, it was Parker. And lastly was Mark Patton. Jimena notes that Mark is, or was, Diego's best friend. She says they were nearly inseparable. Mark lived further from base, so he would even crash at Jimena's and Diego's home occasionally if he didn't want to sleep on base. He too was a few years older and would often big brother Diego. Jimena hasn't spoken to Mark since Diego's death, but she knows that he took it very badly.
You have the letter.
So at this point, Finn is in a car, en route to the deli. We are listening to a phone conversation between Marnie and Finn.
Yeah, just give me 1 second.
Great.
Okay, so you just want me to read it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Dear Jimena, my love, I'll keep this short because I know what pain every additional word brings. I want you to know that this is not your fault. You've been the most important part of my life. You've kept me alive for longer than you know. This is not your fault. I just can't keep up with everything, and it's time for me to go. I love you. Never stop believing in yourself, and thank you for making my life special. Yours forever, Diego.
There's a little bit of confusion here. We think that when Finn arrives at the deli, the employee who worked the night of Diego's death wasn't there. His name is Edwin Jacob. Finn got his number and called, but there isn't any record of that phone call. We only have notes from Marnie, so Finn must have called her after talking to the employee and filled her in.
Finn talked to Edwin, who confirmed that he saw someone in the car the night Diego came in to pick up some smokes and a few beers. But Edwin couldn't further describe what the man looked like. Couldn't make out any features.
After that, Finn looked into the location where Diego was said to have jumped from. Finn describes a stunning view, and indeed, the photo of the view we found in the case file is gorgeous.
Finn describes a short dirt path leading off from the winding mountain road, but it's not very remote. The road is clearly visible from the vantage point, hence why Diego's body was found so quickly the next day after the incident based on his car's description.
Finn doesn't seem to note anything else special about the location, just that the cliff is extremely steep and that the chances of surviving that drop were about as close to zero as possible.
We are recording. Okay, could you,
This is the next piece of tape we have.
Could you state your name and your relationship to Diego Lopez Patton. For me?
Sergeant Mark Patton. I was Diego's team leader, and he was pretty much my best friend.
Thank you. And again, Mark, thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Sergeant Mark Patton is Diego's best friend and leader of the fire team on which Diego was the AR, automatic rifleman. Tall, upstanding, clean cut, he's the model Army soldier. Diego and Mark had served one tour in Kuwait together in 1994, Operation Vigilant Warrior, but it doesn't seem like war has taken a huge toll on Mark's personality. Finn describes him as warm and engaging, especially before they started recording. But he also tells Marnie that losing Diego seemed to hit him very, very hard.
Jimena told us that you and Diego were very close.
Yeah.
Like you said, best friends.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We instantly bonded over so many things. We both watched pro wrestling. It's stupid, but we both followed all that. And yeah, Diego was... He had my back. I had his back, always.
I'm assuming his death came as a shock.
Yeah. Yeah, insane shock. I would never, ever, ever, even in my, like, wildest imagination, thought that he would... thought he had a struggle like that going on. Not at all.
I'm sorry. That must have been difficult.
Still is. I miss him. Everybody at the base does. Diego was a special guy.
Yeah, sounds like it. So, usually with cases like this, we look for any changes in behavior a few weeks leading up to the incident. Was there anything at all that you can think of that maybe, like, changed in his behavior?
Leading up to it, no, nothing. No.
And his relationship with Jimena, what was that like?
I think it was fine. I didn't spend much time around them together. Diego and we usually hang out with the guys, so I don't know.
Got it.
Diego also wasn't someone who got into arguments. So if there were any issues, he wouldn't talk about that kind of thing much.
All right. And when was the last time you saw Diego?
I saw him that day, in the morning, earlier the day that he did it.
At the base?
Yeah. Just said hi, and that was it.
Gotcha. I know you said that he got along well with people, but was there anyone that... you know, or how do I phrase this? Was there anyone you knew who might have had any reason to hurt Diego?
Genuinely not that I can think of. Like, you don't understand how awesome he was to everyone around him. It's just not, it's not something I can see anyone doing to him.
So you think he did commit suicide?
That just seems as crazy, you know? It makes no sense. I'm sorry, could we take a second?
Oh, yeah, no. Actually, we're good here.
You sure?
Yeah, and, Mark, I'm sorry to sort of unbury a lot of this. I know it's very, very hard. I want to thank you for talking about this.
After this, Finn spoke with Parker Scheller and Dustin Groves, the other two members of the fire team. Both confirmed that Diego was so well loved at the base, and both were quite shocked at the news of Diego's death. But outside of confirming Diego's positive personality and confirming that the suicide was very much out of character, they didn't seem to add anything of value to the investigation.
So next, Marnie comes up with the idea of visiting Edwin Jacobs, the deli worker who saw Diego the night he died. Marnie asks Finn to head that way, but this time with printed photos of the fireteam members. Perhaps seeing a face will bring about some connection to the person who he saw waiting in the car when Diego came inside.
Yeah, you got it. Is it okay if I have this recording?
Yeah, no worries. That's good.
Cool. Great. So when we talked on the phone, you told me that you saw a man in the car waiting while Diego stopped in. Is that right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, do you recognize any of these men?
Just this one.
Mark Patton?
Yeah, Mark. I know Mark. He comes all the time with Diego, too. He used to.
Were any of these guys in the car that night?
Look, I know how these things go. I don't want to falsely say anything that's not true or, you know, that I'm not sure about. You know? I have no idea who it was.
Are you sure anyone was in the car at all?
Yeah, definitely. I saw, like, shape of someone, just like a glance.
Okay. Did Diego come in with anyone else regularly?
No, not really. No, usually just Mark. I gotta get back.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Edwin.
Anytime. Hey, let me know if you find out who did it.
It's still a suicide as of now.
And it's here that there's another gap. We have no records of what happened next. With no additional information from any interview, the trail seems to go cold. Until about 4 days later, Marnie gets a call from Jimena. She's hysterical. We've edited out the beginning of this since it was just too hard to make out what she was saying.
I found these letters.
Slow it down a little, Jimena.
Okay.
Jimena, Finn can be over there.
Yes, please.
Uh-huh. Take some deep breaths. Okay, so you found letters.
Yes.
Letters from who?
Yeah, they're love letters. Diego was...
Letters from who?
Diego was cheating on me.
Jimena, is there a name? Do you know who the other woman is?
Yeah, there is. It's not a woman. It's Mark.
Mark Patton?
Yeah. Diego was cheating on me with Mark. Fucking Mark.
And that's where we'll end part one of The Fatal Fall of Diego Lopez.
Check back next week where we'll be discovering what really happened to Diego.
As always, we're still working on finding the best way to present these cases to you. So please drop us a line with your thoughts anytime. You can find us on Instagram at Antonius Nazareth and at Nicholas M. Sato, or at themarniebicktapes@gmail.com.
Editing by Nicholas Sato and Antonius Nazareth.
Music by Antonius Nazareth.
And special thanks to Mallory Blick and Brennan.